The few days after Hollywood's biggest night.
Yes. Are we all recovering from our many Oscar obligations that the three of us collectively had?
I definitely watched it, and I definitely saw any of the movies nominated.
Same. I know exactly what a night to remember. What's it called? Lost in the Darkness?
Lost in the Darkness, a night to remember.
Uh-huh.
Wait, is that a thing? I don't know what that is.
I'm literally like it, just though. Grasping at the name of something that sounds like an Oscar-nominated
That's
film.
That's true. That is very, very,
I did see half
true.
Of the holdovers. I was so tired after the cruise. I did fall asleep, but I will watch the rest of it. It is not a knock on the film. I just was exhausted.
I like the holdovers, yeah. Actually, and I think this was a whiter than usual... I guess it's not whiter than usual. I think it was about, you know, a return to a normal Oscars, a pretty, mm-hmm. pretty white Oscars.
Mm-hmm. The good old days.
Yeah, everyone's feeling great. I think we all were like, well, maybe something cool will happen. I mean, a couple cool things happened. Divine Joy Randolph, who was in the holdovers, won and mm-hmm. had a really nice, I don't think it was in the speech. I'm trying to remember. I think it was afterwards with the press, but just like sort of talking about, you know, the difference between white Oscar winners and Oscar winners of color, or black Oscar winners specifically for her, mm-hmm. is what she was talking about, I believe. And that was really nice. Friend of this show, previous guest, Cord Jefferson, won a writing Oscar for adapted screenplay, which I thought was, I was like, it's got to be Oppenheimer, right? So... that was pretty amazing.
Wait, because is that an adapted screenplay? What's that adapted from? Just history?
Just Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
I think it's some book about Oppenheimer.
He'd be Oppenheimer.
You know what? You just say what?
Stay Oppenheimer.
What you will about Oppenheimer? Oppenheimer all the way.
He gonna Oppenheim, whether we like it or not.
Oh, I was pleasantly surprised that one of my favorite movies of last year, Godzilla Minus One, won a visual effects award, which I didn't think
very cool.
was possible.
I know this sounds like a dad joke, but I genuinely thought it was called Godzilla Plus One, but that it feels like a very different, like a rom-com.
Yeah.
Godzilla and his date.
But wouldn't it be like Godzilla with like a little bow tie and his like tiny hand is holding like a corsage of some kind?
Yeah.
I feel like this
and
is one where
Godzilla. He's looking for a plus one to take to a wedding.
Yeah, yeah. Or he gets stood up and that's why he gets all like angry.
Oh. So that's Godzilla Minus One. Is he has to go to his best friend's wedding, but he got stood up.
Do we think Godzilla's angry or just a lizard?
This is what I asked you before when I was like, does he come from the sea? Does he come from space? Does he come from a lab? So he just comes from under the sea and he's just mad at Japan?
Who isn't?
I'm fine with them.
If we're really keeping score.
Why does he choose them? Why does he single them out?
I think it's just because they're around.
Okay.
I think he's just lashing
wrong
out.
Wrong place, wrong time.
He's just lashing out. Yeah. Well, they should have known not to be Japanning all up around Godzilla's, I want to say trench.
He seems trench-like bound. Yeah.
I feel like a trench kind of jam.
He seems like a trench monster.
Japan's response on the matter, quote, wrong place, wrong time.
Yikes.
Oh, we should have seen any movie before we started riffing on the Oscars. Yeah.
I saw a bunch of these. I did not see Oppenheimer because...
Because you're waiting for a flight to Australia?
I guess it just seemed like too long. And I do feel like I just got to watch it on the teeny tiniest, maybe like a phone.
Yeah. I got to do the thing that everyone's mad at you for doing, which is watch it on the tiniest screen in the most distracting environment.
With like breaks.
Yeah.
Just be like, I got to go. I'm going to go get a drink. I'm going to the bathroom. Let's see. What else happened? I'm going to be honest. We had I had a wee birthday party that was meant to be a small bar celebration, and I overdid it.
You so, overdid it?
How so? The last couple days, I'm like, ooh, I'm just barely hanging on. Barely hanging on.
Mm. What, did it remain a small celebration, or did too many people come?
No, it was pretty like nice and a good size, but the main thing was just I don't know. I'm just too old to be staying out till playing pinball at 1:30 in the morning is
disagree.
If anyone needs a you know, just a mental image of how this all went down.
I have that, Andrew, where I'm like, God, it's 12:15. What am I still doing out? But then I get home and I'm like, time to watch my little stories. And I like get Netflix up and then I'm up till 3. But if I'm out after 11, I'm like, who am I? What is this man? And then I get home and I'm like, okay, time to be up way past my bedtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do a lot of hard swings. Mm-hmm. Speaking of... This is the podcast, Yo, Is This Racist, where we listen to your voicemails about racism eventually.
I forgot what hosts, we were doing.
Tawny Newsom. It's okay. It's only 8 minutes in. Tawny Newsom, that's Andrew T. That's our producer, Kevin Bartelt. We will eventually get to your racism voicemails and texts.
We should also say what it seemed like I was doing was forgetting whether or not we were doing our premium show, Yo, Can We Live? But... this is, we're going to have to do a little tech support corner.
Mm, yes.
At first, we thought it was simply enemy, but supervisor of this show, Jessica Gao, experiencing problems. And I will admit, sort of hoping it was just a her problem.
Yeah.
But in the last couple of days, we've gotten a bunch of texts from people who subscribe to our premium show, Yo Can We Live, and the Suboptimal Bundle at suboptimalpods.com. It really is pretty not cool of me to try to do a promo here while apologizing. But, and I'll just say it as I understand it, with a medium amount of technical knowledge, and Kevin, correct me,
mm-hmm.
The RSS feeds from Acast got fucked up. Which I guess I should say not from Acast.
If you're having issues with your feed... and mm-hmm. you're not seeing the latest episodes, try re-adding the feed if, like, just refreshing it isn't working. And then hopefully that should fix it. It's fixed it for people in the past. So, message us if that doesn't work. But, hopefully just re-adding the feed if you are having problems. Not everyone is. Should just fix it. So,
all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We like this.
We like.
And I found out about this because, as we were saying before, we are now accepting, obviously, your racism questions via voicemail to 323-389-7223, but also mm-hmm. Your text messages. So there's a bunch of texts in the inbox that we will get back to. Someone also separately texted, just seeing if images work, and then it did. And then I was like, yep, seeing them. And then they said, you probably shouldn't publish that because you don't know what kind of images you're going to get. To which ooh. I say, fucking try me.
Bring it on. Bring it on as someone who does not monitor the inbox. And I know that it is solely
try me,
job.
Parentheses, Andrew.
Try,
I only look like once a week usually. It's fine. What could possibly go
wrong?
That's
a healthy amount.
Yeah, that's good.
Send images. But also, we are taking questions, general advice questions. I don't think we really got any usable ones this week, but
what's not usable? What are people doing that you're deeming not usable?
Great question.
It's mostly personal questions.
Oh, like personal for us?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. We'll talk off mic.
We did get one. Actually, we can start with this one. Let me see if I can find it. This is, we'll see if this is usable for us. Hi, Tawny, Andrew, and Kevin. I moved to LA about a month ago for work and would love your recommendations for best food, museums, or things to do in the city. I figured I'd ask the experts. I don't think we're the experts on
no.
doing stuff in LA. Do we have LA recs?
I feel like all my LA recs are like, here's what to do if you need to get out of the city, which is not an LA rec. That's a leave here rec.
I think that is, I will say, I think That is the best LA rec, which is like, I think people don't realize that the main thing about LA that's awesome is it's super easy to get out of LA relative to like.
California's got like some of the most beautiful shit and people just don't leave LA. You talk to people who are like, I love hiking, and they just like go to Runyon.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in an hour you can be in the Sespe Wilderness or it's spring, it's wildflower season. And a lot of people go to the Antelope Poppy Reserve. But if you want to avoid crowds, my favorite spot is Anza Borrego State Park. It's not poppies per se, but it's lots of different wildflower blooms. And it's huge. And there's plenty of places you can go in it. So that's a wreck. That's a wreck for leaving LA.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. It's like, but there's like everything is around here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the whole reason, one of the reasons this is like where they at one point made a bunch of TV and movies is that it's possible to like film exterior shots here that look like almost anywhere. There's like an old map that I saw on, I think, Tumblr way back in the day that's from like a location scout for, I don't know, one of the studios that just had a map of LA County, but with just written in like what these places could double as. So there's like, yeah.
A lot of the neighborhoods were specifically built to look like those places. Like,
yeah.
I heard somebody say something about why like a lot of Midwesterners gravitate towards Los Feliz. And it's because all of the homes there were meant to look like homes you find in suburban Midwest. So
that makes sense. Yeah. But there's also like the Sahara Desert. There was like Tuscany. Mm-hmm. There's like places in Malibu that you're like, if you're standing in the right place, you could shoot it for Tuscany. Mm-hmm. It's just like everything is here. And that's the sort of nicest thing about LA is like there's just a bunch of shit. I think also for food, the best food, I still maintain this, although the gentrification has started becoming real. LA's a bad place to spend $100 or a lot of money per person. I think it's the best place to spend like a medium amount of money at a at a place that mostly white people don't work at.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think the food is really good as long as you're not trying to like do something.
My rec is
trying to do something.
Go to a bar in Highland Park called the Hermosillo, get the fried pickles and like a pilsner. But here's a tip. If you are going with like your parents and there's three different birthday parties for three different five-year-olds, don't say anything to the parents, but maybe give them a look like implying, isn't it crazy that all of these kids took up all the seats at this bar?
Yeah.
But the fried pickles are amazing and the beer.
Yeah. See, just broad general advice from all of us.
Just like, really broad anything, not too specific.
You know, keeping it real.
Not seated at the bar, but seated at all the tables. I have to clarify that. Although that would be really funny if all the kids were seated at the bar.
I think just call the cops on a bunch of kids at a bar. Just have cops come and card.
And kid cops show up.
And then you realize you're in an alternate kid reality.
May I see your ID, please?
I'm sir. The weird one. It's just a library card.
I also don't really do a lot of museums. This person asked about museums, and I realized I'm not a museum head.
I don't do museums so much either. I think it's a little bit like, I think I got spoiled by New York. Like, it's a little hard for me to go to like fucking art museums.
Same with Chicago.
Yeah.
Or like galleries.
Ugh. Yeah. It can be a little
I have a bad reputation at LA museums because one of my first jobs was I worked at a retirement center, and I would take the residents at their assisted living home, and I would take the residents to different activities, and often it would be museums, and often they would touch the artwork, and often employees of the museum say, they keep touching that artwork, you guys are getting kicked out. And so I get a little bit of panic every time I go to a museum because I think about an employee giving me a dirty look.
Yeah, you've got trauma.
Yeah.
Damn, dog.
Just touch the painting. Just see how it feels.
This one.
I guess I'm of two minds of this. I don't know. I know I'm a bit of a Philistine with permanence. Like, I'm like, I don't know. I know it damages the artwork, but come on, who really cares? However, Also, oh I am God. Like, why would you want to touch artwork?
Yeah, like, I don't think they were trying to do it. I think they were just pointing at it and not realizing that they were 3 inches in front of it.
Depth perception.
I see.
When a point yeah, that, becomes a touch.
That's right. Oh, my laundry's done, guys. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I also know that people, this is just like our premium show, Yo Can We Live, but we're just rolling here.
We're riffing and rolling.
Feels like we haven't seen each other in a little while, which is not true. But I made a thing that I am pretty happy with, a variation on lemon pepper wings yesterday. Number one is I just did deboned chicken thighs, which is very annoying as a kitchen task. But I used yuzu and butter. So I made essentially yuzu pepper wings.
Ooh.
And that shit was phenomenal.
I bet that's so good.
Yeah. And that's like a seasoning you could do on with anything. You know,
you could
yuzu, just this yuzu paste. I don't have it in front of me, but the yuzu paste, it's from Japan, but it's from Japan in a way that it is like literally not unlabeled. It just has one Japanese character on it, which I assume is the name of either the company or of the paste. Mm-hmm. But there's no like nutritional information, ingredient information, year. There's nothing. There's literally one character on this entire little jar.
It says paste.
It might. Don't speak Japanese, unlikely to ever learn. So yeah, that's my pitch for y'all for flavor combination. Just take any lemon pepper recipe and replace the lemon with yuzu, yuzu paste. This yuzu paste is like a little spicy anyway. It's fucking great. Oh my God. It's so good. Think about it now.
Caller/texter, I hope you enjoyed our recommendations of leaving the city or staying home and making your own food.
Yeah. And don't go to the museums.
5-year-olds at a bar for
especially
and if you want a museum, go to New York.
Yeah, or Chicago.
I think we nailed it. I think this is exactly the advice
that's the advice that people need. All right, we're gonna take a little break and then come back and do your questions. And we're back.
Yes. Do you want to talk about the tweet that you sent us this week, Andrew, too?
Yes. I forgot. Wait, let me... Oh, no. I'm looking in the wrong place.
Listeners are listening right now thinking maybe Kevin could have brought that up during the break. No, that would have made sense. We do all business on air.
No, I did have it pulled up. I'm just wrong. Okay.
Business happens on mic.
It's nice to get a kind of just an actual ass racism news. This is from March 6th I'm like reading a thing that's from Twitter that's like talking about something as reported in a UK newspaper, but it's maybe this was in the UK, but it was still an Australian person. But Sam Kerr, who is, I believe, Aboriginal, but not Aboriginal Australian, not white, regardless, was charged with racially harassing a police officer for calling him a stupid white bastard, which is just lovely. Lovely shit all around, of course.
And they identified that as a slur.
Yeah. White bastard.
Which I would just love to dissect what the slur is.
Yeah. When you sent it, Andrew, I skimmed through it so fast looking for the slur that I didn't realize that I had read it.
Because here's the thing. Calling someone a bastard is rude. That's a name call.
That's rude. Yeah.
That's rudeness. We agree. Calling someone white, this is where I'm realizing. I'm like, oh, right. Some white people believe that to be called white is a slur. Because if they're called anything other than just the neutral default race in their mind, then it's a slur.
You know what's so weird, though, is as you put it that way, I'm like, those people are racist, and I do agree with them. Call it white is a slur.
But
it is when I say it.
When you say it, it's a slur. But it's also just a factual...
It's
a factual descriptor that people hear as a slur because it's calling attention to the fact that they're not just, quote, normal, and the rest of us are black and brown and Latino and other descriptors that require calling out.
Yeah. This
is that when you call out that someone is white, they go, wait a minute, I am attacked.
So unbelievably pathetic. I mean, I guess it's like this would be funny except for the fact that, like, she actually had to go to court. And
yeah, it fucking sucks.
Like, yeah, this is like weaponizing. I don't even know. I mean, this is why this show still has any like legs that this shit keeps happening. Like, it's always just like, oh yeah, we just, you know, white people keep acting like this and keep pretending that this like stuff like this is a problem. Or I guess it's just power. It's the ability to fucking just fuck with someone. Yeah. But yeah,
it's just you're mad that you were called a name you don't like, aka a thing that you are.
Yeah, I did not see a follow up on this. I assume nothing happened.
Here's hoping.
But yeah,
here's hoping.
Oh man, this is also it's like just a good drunken night out story, apparently, because it came because there was like she'd thrown up in the cab, which is fair, I suppose.
Damn, rough night.
Yeah, we could do a voicemail, we could do another text. Let's do a voicemail and a text.
Okay,
how about
mixed
that
medium?
Okay, I was born and raised in Atlanta. I just finished listening to the most recent episode.
Yes.
Atlanta has changed a lot recently in the last like 5-10 years. And I think that because there are more white transplants moving from majority white places that gravitate toward white people, and like housing segregation like is a really big issue in like metro Atlanta, it's entirely possible for someone to be in one of these like heavily gentrified areas in in Atlanta, even if they're living in a like a hip, like middle of the city place. And only have white friends. And then honestly, that's a big part of why I live in New York now. I'm black. I know Andrew's sister lives there. I feel like if you're a person of color, you'll have a wildly different experience of Atlanta because there are just, you just know where to go. And what was I going to say? Oh, part of the reason why I left is like one of the experiences that I had before I left Atlanta was like, I lived in Kirkwood for a couple years and slowly over time, it just became more and more white. I had more and more experiences of like nervous white people like grabbing their phones when they saw me. And I'm like, I was here before you guys fucking got here. Anyway, that's all. Bye.
This is in reference to last week's episode where there was a white person who had moved to Atlanta who had previously said they did not have trouble making black friends in D.C., but were having trouble making black friends in Atlanta. To which we respond, how the fuck are you going to live in Atlanta and not have have black friends? Which is maybe a little glib, because it is also true that we shouldn't put it past. Well, I guess I still sort of stand behind our statement, which was like, not that it's impossible to be white in Atlanta and only have white friends. It's just that it says more about you than it says about
everyone. But this caller's responding to the fact that we were like, how is that even possible? Because
right.
Because one of the things that we experienced in Atlanta when we've spent time there is not only that it's very diverse, but that it's very mixed. Like, you know, it doesn't have that segregated feeling that places like Chicago do. It feels like everybody can be everywhere. So it's like, if you are having that much trouble making black friends, what's going on? So thank you for the clarification from this caller that I guess it is possible.
It's also like such a perspective thing, I feel like. Because the caller being like, this is why I moved to New York. I'm like, New York feels like, New York is not physically segregated, but it is segregated.
Yeah.
Like class does so much of the work on that, I guess.
Sure.
But like, yeah, just because there's like rich white folks on the subway train doesn't mean you actually interact.
Right.
Yeah, that's
weird to me.
To me,
I said, I'm doing
to you, to you, to you.
It's so weird to me, I feel, because I don't know. It does just feel like if you go out and do anything in anywhere, I don't know. I guess I'm just like, go out and do shit. Go out and do shit. Go have activities, meet people, say hello, talk to people.
Yeah. I guess it is. It's just like there are people who are moving to Atlanta for the express purpose of being someplace, quote, cool in the South. I mean, look, it's also like you go to Atlanta, you definitely still see like, you know, MAGA and worse type stuff on like cars and in places like, you know, so it's certainly possible. I just, I think we were just being like, but for real, if you're listening to this, how is that possible? But maybe not. Yeah. Who knows?
All right. Godspeed and God bless.
I know I said we should do a text, but I had forgotten what the second voicemail was in the episode folder for this week. And
I think we should. The title is captivating.
I think we should do this one.
I can't wait. Let's hear it.
Hi, y'all. I'm a white guy living in Michigan. Hey, Andrew. I work in the cannabis industry. I have a coworker who's black. That's all context. He believes wild things like birds aren't real. That's the context. My question is, one day I overheard a conversation and I heard him say something along the lines of, I don't know why we had to learn about slavery in...
Yeah, sure.
And what do I do? Obviously, not my place to say anything about it. But... Also, if you're giving advice, do you have anything I can do about what I come up against? Phrases like, birds aren't real, or something about house with chakras in Detroit? Thanks. Bye.
I should have looked up House of Chakras, but I think we're kind of triangulating on a vibe here.
Birds aren't real is one of my favorite. Look, I'm recent to this notion, this pervasive notion. This is like... This seems like a quirky lateral move of the flat earthers. It's the people that believe that birds are what's spy craft made by foreign governments to spy on us. And they mean all birds. They're not just like, oh, there's a couple birds that spy on us. It's like every bird you see is a piece of technology used to spy on you.
It's if flat earthers were on Etsy.
Yeah. It also is just, I'm just like, it's so much effort. Like, they can't come up with, you know, they can't come up with highways that work half the time. And you think they made every bird in the world? It's just such a strange, and they made them all different, and they made them all sound different and do different, like, we just, like, our phones go obsolete every 18 months. And you think they've got... diversity of birds just and what happens when one dies and falls on the ground and you see it, like, it's not full of microchips.
That's how they get you. They swap them out before they land. Yeah,
also like hunters.
I like to imagine this person having these beliefs but also being annoyingly good at their job. Like, they're going on a long thing about that and then correcting you on your Excel sheet of, like, just so you know, like, it's not supposed to look that way.
Yeah, wait. Where did the caller say they work?
Michigan. In the cannabis industry in Michigan, which also...
Right. So I'm like, yeah, they're really good at telling you, like, which indica is going to put you to sleep fastest. Mm-hmm. While they're also, like... You know, birds are spy devices.
I mean, it does feel like part and parcel. It's like, I just feel like some significant number of people working at the weed store
don't believe in birds.
Also don't believe in birds of any race. Okay.
Controversial take. If the guy at the weed store does not believe in birds, who is this hurting?
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of right there with you.
If my endocrinologist doesn't believe in birds, then I have a problem.
Yeah. I will say this. This was probably many, many years ago, maybe more than 10. I was at a hospital, a regular Los Angeles hospital, and I was getting, I had, I believe, bronchitis or something, but because I have asthma, I was exacerbated, but I was getting some sort of treatment or test. Long story short, the nurse who was administering the either treatment or test, or maybe both, literally said, well, this might be from chemtrails. And I just was like, in a hospital, and this woman has a degree in, you know, the medical field, which I can't stress enough. I say it too much, but it's true. These people are not scientists. Mm-hmm. They do with science, but so does everyone.
Yeah.
It was wild. So I'm just saying.
Wow.
That lady doesn't necessarily believe birds are real.
So how do you respond? I mean, with that lady, you could just kind of be like, yeah, who knows, wild. Okay, am I good to clear out? Can I get out of here? I guess, like, if you're working every day side by side by your fellow bud tender brethren.
Yeah.
Do you just not engage? I mean, truly, I'm like, who's he hurting?
Well, listen, we have a friend who will remain nameless, who is otherwise, as far as I understand, a pretty rational person, who definitely believes in Sasquatches. And I think, assuming it's possible, there's a level of like relatively good natured make fun of this person you can engage in when they say stuff like birds aren't real.
Mm-hmm.
That I think just like I do think it's like, what is the point of if like arguing with them? But I will say there is probably some point, both for fun and profit, not profit, but fun and like just holding some kind of line of making fun of them every time they say birds aren't real. Right? Like, is that worth it? I feel like you got to do at least some version of that, because that is just a wild ass thing to say.
It's pretty wild. I just don't know if making fun of them is going to do anything. They're just going to feel like bullied. And dig in further.
The vibe's going to shift.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the other thing is, and this is not me with direct knowledge, but just kind of my residual knowledge of Michigan and also how shit kind of goes. But compared to California, I believe the Michigan cannabis industry is less like, not that it's not gentrified, because like the big money makers are still like these like white people and white corporations, but it's still like, and like the way when weed was being sold in the beginning in California, it still felt like a little shady, even though technically it was legal. I think Michigan's still in that frame where it's like, this still feels illegal.
Yeah.
Even though technically it's okay. So I think that atmosphere brings out the birds aren't real, folks.
Yeah.
Which, you're right. Who's it hurting?
Who's it hurting? But it is interesting that I haven't heard of a lot of birds aren't real people. I'm sure it's not unique to Black people, but the ones I've heard of are Black people. And I want to know, I am curious where this has come from and why.
Where's the source?
Yeah.
Where's the source, and what's the real, like, kind of agenda behind it?
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, a lot of conspiracies, it is just sort of, like, disenfranchised people feel like it, one thing that's helpful is to make up stories that believe stories that make you feel like you have some kind of control. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can see through these fake birds, you have some measure of control over your life, regardless of how real it actually is.
Mm-hmm. I'm not just a victim of a systemically racist society that constantly like puts my needs last.
Yeah, I'm seeing through it. Yeah,
them. Yeah,
this is power. But that is the problem too. It's like, all right, but what if you see through the birds thing? Like, again, these people are really good at making fake birds. Like, yeah, it's that tends to be the origin. But then that dovetails. See, like, the birds thing, funny, but that does tend to dovetail with shit like, why do we need to learn about slavery? Or, right, like, in the, yeah, like, Kanye West-ish version, like, well, I would quite simply have not allowed myself to be enslaved sort of yeah, mindset. Which, it's just, like, an ego salve or, like, some way to, like, deal with life.
Yeah, oh, wait, it's a coping mechanism to deal with, like, I once worked with a man who was a black man, visibly, aurally, like, he presented as black, he was a black man from the South, and I don't know how we started talking about it, but he suddenly popped out with, oh, I'm not actually black, and I was like, oh, my apologies, what do you identify as? And he said, well, I did a lineage test, and I traced it all the way back to my ancestor, who's Native American. So I'm Native American. And I was like, okay, so you have some Native American in your lineage there, and you're black? And he's like, no, not black at all. It's just Native American. And I was like, got it. It was not making sense if you had seen this person. But I was like, you know what? I'm not a fucking race scientist. I was like, who knows? This man says he's Native American, whatever. But then he went into, you know, slavery didn't really happen like they said it did.
Yeah.
Like, not all of us who think we're black are actually black. And his reasoning was, how did they fit that many of us on the boats? That was his reasoning. They couldn't have fit that many on the boats. There wasn't room for enough food and water.
It's like a
shipping and logistics problem with why slavery wasn't real.
So depressing too, with like the actual answers to those questions.
Yeah.
I'm like, there wasn't enough food and water.
Yeah, if you want to study it, you'll learn why. But it was so clear to me that I was like, oh, this is a way for this man to not feel, this is a way for him to distance himself from a marginalized group.
Yeah.
By aligning with an even more marginalized group, I would say. But for him, it made more sense to be like, no. I'm not a black person. My people weren't enslaved. I don't come from that. I come from people who were always here, who were always of this land.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like, thankfully, that is relatively rare. So like, to the extent that there's actual advice for the caller, which is like, what do I say in these situations? It's like, mostly, like, this person's going through a level of complexity of shit that you're not going to be able to address in a conversation like this.
Do the birds aren't real people? What's their explanation for, like, chickens?
That was my question, actually, was like,
turkeys.
But what do they consider to be birds? Is it only flying birds?
Penguins.
Penguin, yeah. An ostrich?
Did they think March of the Penguins was just like a CIA op?
You got to consider the possibility.
Ostrich. That's a guy in a suit.
Yeah. March of the alleged Penguins is what. I'm like,
oh my God.
Like I guess it is like an internally consistent point of view. Well, not, but it is like, because it's like anything is just like, well, they're just fooling us. Like, yeah, well, we just, you know, they're just, this is how deep the conspiracy goes. And it like always, any counter argument becomes a greater argument for their point of view.
Right.
Is it, I guess I would just sort of ultimately be like, birds aren't real people. You're not really going to get through to them.
Probably not.
I was going to say, as long as they're not weirding out the customers and people are like, you know what, I'm going to stick with the other dispensary, and then they leave. Like, maybe just to like, I don't know. That's wild.
Yeah.
I'm so conflict averse, though.
I know. But selfishly, I do want you to ask them what the deal is with penguins, turkeys, and chickens.
That's important. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to
what is a chicken? Just find the line for them. Mm-hmm. and then really drive it home. This probably is counterproductive in some way, but it is like ultimately like you're not really going to change any minds if they're saying this stuff. So, well, I guess it's probably, we should just say for the record, birds are real.
It's a firm stance we have on this podcast. I've seen them. I had one when I was a kid. She was real as well.
Oh my God. What do they think about roadrunners?
That's a great point. I have one that talks to me most mornings.
Yeah. Well, that's the fact that it talks to you in English should be one tip off.
He does a lot of trade craft. He's always like putting a chalk mark on a mailbox to let me know to meet with him later.
Roadrunners aren't real, but that's not all birds. Some birds are real. At least some birds are real, and that's our line in the sand.
At least
323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE. But text in, write your questions of all kinds of advice.
Yep.
And yeah, we'll figure out some communication on our suboptimal issue. But you should be able to just reinstall the RSS feed. And there will be some text about that in the description below. Is that correct, Kevin? Okay. All right. All right. That's it. We did it. Peace.
This is suboptimal.